Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friend's music record shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove, right between the demo and the ready room. This Friday, they've got brand new records coming in from Sam Smith, Rush, All Them Witches, Ween, Daughter, Funkadelic, Little Dragon, Misfits, Danzig, Ice Cube, and a whole lot more. All purchases are 10% off. Free beer from Four Hands Brewery. Yeah, they'll have vinyl spinning and all kinds of other things going on. They do a lot of in-store performances on Saturdays. Find all that information and more on their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
I'm Mike.
I'm Dustin.
And I'm Kevin from Visionary Media, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah. This is Rock Paper Podcast with Shane and his guests. You will listen to what he says.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio, it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, with the guys of Visionary Media.
How's it going?
Hello.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Again.
Yeah, a little deja vu. We tried to sit down up at Tattoo Dog. Shout out to Tattoo Dog for being a host for the first part of this show, and we had a little technical difficulty saving and lost everything. So
here we are.
We're back for round two.
If we sound really well rehearsed,
yeah,
that is why.
We know what not to say.
We had a nice practice run. It was a good try, guys, and we're back to do it again. They're for real deal this time. No more mistakes. No more technical fatal errors. But yeah, you guys want to say hi and introduce yourself?
I'm Mike. Don't know why I waved. did it again. Second time, and I still waved. Mike Randman. I'm from Washington, Missouri.
Hello. I'm Dustin Hook. I am from NoCo.
Deja vu.
It is deja vu.
And what's going on? My name is Kevin, and I'm also from NoCo.
I don't know why I waved. That was funny. Yeah, it's funny how many people do that, though. Like, do you forget that it's just a visual platform? You know, or no, sorry, no visual. Yeah, that's all audio. But yeah, like, so many people like doing hand gestures and things and various whatever, and it makes me laugh, so.
Well, for some reason, I keep looking at the microphone when I talk.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah. I should be looking at you. I'm talking to you.
this is exciting for me, guys. I'm, I've been following some of your work, and you guys reached out and said, hey, let's do this, and I was excited to make it happen. And so I guess let's start where one of my first things noticing your work was Inkspot Block Party.
Correct. Yeah, that was our that was the first thing we did as a group. It just so happened that the Inkspot Block Party was coming up, and it was a one of those things where it's like, hey, Coco. Coco was the guy who kind of was the brains behind the whole operation.
Yeah.
Hey, it's cool if we come out and film. See what we can get. He's like, yeah, I guess he kind of saw it as, I may get some video of it, and it doesn't bother me at all if they come out. So this is one of those things we all kind of came out and did our thing.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the whole day was just incredible. We ended up having great weather for the most part. I think it rained like that all the leading up to it.
Yeah, just like randomly. Yeah, it was raining like the morning.
Yeah.
Then it stopped and it was a beautiful day.
Right.
And then it just like downpoured at one point.
Yeah, it rained about midway through the day, but then after that it was beautiful for the most part.
Yeah.
It's like no rain, downpour, no rain. Nothing in between.
Luckily, most of the day, most of that's covered under the shed, so
yeah, that really helped.
So we everybody kind of huddled under there to stay
under, under one roof and enjoyed the music.
Yeah. But yeah, just it's really cool to watch that thing grow too. Watching Inkspot Block Party become what it is over the last 6 years, or I think it's been.
Yeah.
That was the first one I'd ever been to. I'd always heard about it, and every year I say, I'm going to go this year, and I just never did. But this year I was like, finally going to go, going to get some video. Dude, it's awesome. Like, the lineup is just ridiculous.
Sure. And then most time it's free or a dollar or what, I think it was like $10 at the door if you didn't have a ticket. But that's what they've been doing in the past most recent years is giving free tickets to sponsors and saying, hey, go out and support these local businesses. And get a free ticket to the show. So, if you didn't go out of to go to a local business and grab your free ticket, then shame on you. Pay $10 at the door. So,
that was the second one I'd been to. The first one was like 3 years when it was like when Cabo played. It was the first one that I'd been to. I think Shaman's Harvest like headlined that year. I heard an ad on the radio for it, and I kind of seen it being talked about on like social media and stuff. And I was like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. I'll check it out. And I was just kind of like, wow, this is a lot more than you hear Block Party, and you kind of get an idea. Like, and it was just like a bigger production, and it was like, whoa, this is actually something like huge.
Well,
this year it was just I hadn't gone for 3 years, so it was just magnified.
My first one, I think, was the third one, and it was the last year in the parking lot. So, it all started in the, it was all fan appreciation days, essentially. And they brought out, they were friends with a bunch of local rock bands, and they brought out these guys. I think the last one, they had like a flatbed trailer out there, and they just set up on this trailer and then rocked it in the parking lot. It was a lot of fun, but then it got to the point where they got so big or where they needed a bigger thing, so they moved over to the fairgrounds, and it's been growing. I mean, that's when they reached out and they got, like you said, like Shamans and Cabo, and Hurt played 1 year out there, which was pretty awesome. To see Hurt for a dollar,
you don't get that every day.
Right. Along with 20 other bands,
it's an incredible value.
Yeah,
music,
sure.
It's such a good experience for some of like the bands that play earlier in the day. Some of the newer local bands, they get all this exposure because people show up early. They want to see a full day of local bands. It's it's good in every sense.
Well, that's another part of it too. Is that like you watch the lineup? I've been following for years now, going out there and everything else. But Fivefold was like one of the early openers a couple of years back, and now they were played right before Story of the Year and stuff. So, like, it's crazy to think that those guys have grown where they are putting their name right up there at the top of the list with the rest of those guys. So, stuff like that. They're, Hollow Point Heroes, they've been doing a bunch of those. And it's just so along the whole festival's grown, but along with that, the bands have grown to create a demand for the following like that. And
it's a great event for basically everybody involved. I mean, it supports local businesses, it supports the local artists, it supports basically everything.
Yeah, it's a total community event, man. It's nice to see Big Dave and Robbie and all of the Coco and all of them heading up that operation and making all that happen. It's a wonderful thing for our
definitely
area. But yeah, you guys shot some killer video out there. There's a lot of I started seeing some of the Fivefold and Story of the Year videos being shared around on Facebook and things, and some of the pictures and stuff, and we kind of talked, but that Shaman's Harvest, you guys sent me that.
Oh, the picture with the sticker. Yeah,
yeah. You got a. I was fortunate enough to record with those dudes like right before they took the stage, and they slapped my sticker right on the guitar, and it was just that was awesome. I mean, I love those guys, but then to see them actually support me and actually
it's part of the community feel of the whole thing.
Sure, a product placement.
Yeah, right. Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, then they're out there in front of like 10,000 people with my sticker on their guitar, and
I didn't even notice that we had that picture either until you sent us an email like, "Hey, can we get a copy of that?" And I was like. Sure, why not?
Yeah, sure.
There you go.
Yeah, that was a very cool moment for me, just, because I guess I got to start getting used to it. The things are starting to grow, but I still think of this as, some little goofy thing and stuff, but, to see guys like, Nathan Hunt rocking a sticker on his guitar, that was a pretty cool moment, just to get his endorsement and stuff, and then, of course, all the rest of these guys I've been able to hang with, it's pretty awesome to be a part of it and watch this show grow, and along with all the other stuff too. So
we need a cough button on this podcast.
Sorry, guys.
Delete.
Fighting COVID.
Yeah.
We've kind of been in the same boat though. You. Like we're kind of watching this thing grow too.
Right.
Like every, it seems like everything we do, we're like, wow, we're already doing this thing. It's because like the block party was the first thing we ever did, and like we were looking at each other all day, like this is really awesome. Like,
sure.
How do we get here? Like, how are we doing? Like Story of the Year, been my favorite band since I was 14 years old, and here I am videoing them. It's like it was just like kind of surreal.
It was really overwhelming.
Yeah, and we talked like the progression of things was like okay, well the first thing we actually ever filmed was our buddies in We the Victim. There was like a local hardcore band. They played at Cicero's, and it was like, hey guys, let's come out and film you guys for free just to kind of get you guys something and kind of see what we can do. So it went from that. The next show was Story of the Year. Then the next show was 4 Years Strong. Their manager was extremely cool. Like that dude, like I emailed him. He's like, yeah man, come on out. Like, and hung out for part of the day and filmed 4 Years Strong at their show. And he loved the videos and appreciated all of it. So it's kind of like, it's like, local band, and then like national band, and it just kind of like, oh, this kind of took off rather fast.
Yeah, and we really don't know what we're doing. Like, we didn't. I mean, we're learning as we go.
Yeah,
and like, I'm sure you're in the same boat. Like, it's just like, oh, I'm just gonna do this for fun, and then you start doing it, and you're like, oh man, it's catching up to you. And,
right. Yeah, I mean, I believe that's the key to it, man. Like getting out there, diving into it, taking a chance, trying something new. Like I said, when I started this show, I didn't know anything about podcasting. I was a fan of the form, and I bought a mic, had a laptop, and started recording. And and 160 something episodes later, here I am hanging with you dudes. And but it's just, you start to learn, you do enough hours of it, you're going to get better, and you learn from your mistakes, and you critique yourself and stuff. So it's, I'm sure if you guys went back and look at We the Victim video, you probably, things you wish you did better than, and you're learning from all the time and stuff.
Yeah, different angles and stuff. Yeah. The stuff we do now that's just like, okay, the first time we did it, we were just kind of like, all right, you stand here, and let's all record now, and make sure we all at least record the same song.
Yeah.
So we don't have three different songs recorded. But, and then it just progressed to like, okay, how can we take the stage at the particular venue that we're at and kind of use that to capture the performance as best as we can? Like some venues have the limitations with how you side stage, backstage, your different access to like the different, vantage points on the stage. So we're kind of limited to that. Just trying to make it look as good as we can and give the band something that they can, have, like not only a high quality, mainly just, like a high quality piece to kind of promote what they're doing.
Right. I think that's key, to grow as a, for your band, is to have high quality video to pass around, like those camera videos are cool, you know, for what they are and things, yeah, but exactly. from your phones and stuff. But to have a nice, high quality video, even if it's a, you know, like just a live performance and things, to have that to where you can kind of start sharing around and introduce to people like, hey, this is what we do, and especially even if we want to start doing road work or anything, you can send a video to a club saying, hey, here, you know, here's a shot of what we do and stuff. So.
Yeah, that's just kind of the way it is now, though, with social media and everything. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants some kind of product to see, like,
digital.
Nowadays, nobody's going to go see your band if they don't know what your band is like live.
Yeah, everybody can YouTube you and find out what, get a taste of what it's like, something, you know. So.
And it's great to have, like, a pretty decently high-quality video for people to see.
Same way it's, you know, having high-quality recordings.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of the same aspect, you know. Like, a band can go from sounding good to sounding great just by the quality of the recording and then just how it's recorded. It can be the exact same band, exact same song, two different versions, and it's like, wow, that one sounds radio ready, professional quality. This one sounds still good. Like, it's still a really good song, really good recording, and it's just the different quality, and it kind of steps things up. And that's kind of what we were looking to do when we started. We started, you know, this past, like, August was kind of like when we caught things off the ground. Late summer, I kind of came up with the idea that, hey, I want to kind of start, you know, working with some different video stuff and different media production. So I reached out to Dustin, who we've been best friends for like 10 years. We've played in a band since 2008, broke up a few years ago. But for 6 years, we were playing in a band, and we had people come out and film us, do pictures, do videos, and we just weren't really, I mean, we were happy with the final product, but it just, like, felt like there was so much more that could have been done, and better quality, better prices, better turnaround time, just kind of everything. Like, the experience is better. And so that's kind of when it's like, hey, let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
And then I knew he grew up with Mike.
Yeah, I've known Mike since we were like 5 years old. We were in kindergarten together.
Playing T-ball.
Here's a fun story. You know how you're in elementary school and they have, like, I don't know if they did this for you guys, but everybody will have their name on a sheet of paper, and there's cards. Like, the green card is, yeah, you've been a good kid today.
Did you get punch him in the face?
No, it was stupid. There's the yellow card for that's your warning, or red card.
Yeah.
You probably don't remember the story.
I'm trying to think of
so what we were sitting in class, and, like, I look over at Mike, and I just, like, stuck my tongue out at him. Like, just for fun. Like, I wasn't trying to be mean or anything, because we were friends. Like, we played baseball together and stuff, so I knew him, and we were buddies, and the teacher gave me a yellow card for sticking my tongue out at Mike. That's my first. That's like my first, one of my first memories of Mike. So.
Fun story.
Yeah.
I had a similar experience, a little more violent.
Didn't you throw a desk at a kid?
Yeah, that was in high school. That's different. Yeah. You don't flip your card in high school. No, in elementary school, we were having silent reading time, and my friend hit me in the arm, so I hit him in the face with a book. And I went straight from green to yellow to blue, which is a phone call home, and I cried.
Oh, man.
I cried for a very long time. It was disappointing.
He actually just got done crying before this.
Yeah. It's been years. I'm devastated. Can't look the guy in the face.
It just haunts me every day. Blue card.
It's so devastating, man. It's like, I never do anything to get in trouble. I'm like, when I do, I just, like, punch somebody or throw a desk.
And after that, like, it didn't... He didn't care. He's like, I'm going to be a bad kid. Like, he started cooking meth. He, like, all this stuff.
Yes.
He turned into Walter White.
Yeah, that's me. Me in a nutshell.
Kevin doesn't cook meth. Yeah. Anyway, I've known Mike for a long time, and he... Tell your story.
I started doing some graphic design work for these guys when they were in their band, and... you know, I did the drum head for Kevin for when they were in Between the Rivers.
It's a really sweet blues logo. It was awesome.
It turned out pretty sweet. But then, and actually, he contacted me and doing a logo for their Visionary Media. And I was like, yeah, I can do it. And then I told him, like, hey, I ended up changing my major to photography. And I got a camera. I can help you guys out if you need it. And kind of wrote itself, like, joined up with these guys. And been at it ever since. And it all worked out pretty well.
And yeah. Mike used to come see our band and play. We'd play at Pops. We'd play... You know, he'd come see us. He was a fan. He supported us, and, you know, he would post cell phone videos of us and stuff. And, you know, like you said, that stuff's really cool. Like, you know, I would love when we would play a show and, like, my mom or my girlfriend would film us on their phone, because we would have something. I mean, there's nothing better than playing a show and then afterwards you can, like, see some stuff from it. Actually, it's like our farewell show. We had so many people there, and there's no videos from our farewell show.
There's like a 2-minute video
of a Bruno Mars cover, yeah. Like half of it, half of the song.
And we weren't even going to play it, so it sounds terrible.
So it's just like, but yeah, I mean, so yeah, he would come out and help us, and you know, film us on some things, and he, like you said, he did some graphic design stuff for us, and so I'd kind of known him through that. That's how I met him, was through the band. He already knew Dustin. Yeah, and when he said that he had that experience and that background, I was like, yeah, that's something that, you know, photography. And, like, he's helping us kind of learn more about photography as well. Because, like I said, he's a photography major. He's got the graphic design background. Dustin and I are more video and kind of audio-based. And so it kind of collaborates well and kind of teaching each other as we go.
Yeah, he's been a very vital role in this. Like, because, like, the first thing we released was all those pictures from the Inkspot show. And, like, all the bands used those pictures.
That
and
blew up. Yeah, yeah, like, it was really cool.
Like, guys from Story were sharing them. Like, Fivefold was using them. All these bands. And, like, that was kind of, like, the launching pad to, like, for people to be like, oh, these pictures are really awesome. Check out the videos, too. So we don't want to, like, limit ourselves to just videos. Like, we want to incorporate photography, graphic design, like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, my overarching goal is I would like to eventually become, like, a full fledged production house.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, you know, radio commercials, TV commercials, you know, promotional photography, wedding photography, senior portraits, anything, you know, any graphic design, any kind of production, media production that needs to be done, I would like to be able to offer that. Sure. And using our different skills, I think we can eventually get to that point to where we can just kind of, whatever you need, we can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, you guys have already started to branch out a bit. You shot your first music video recently, right?
Correct.
With Dom Thomas.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the man. Yeah, Dom, he went to college with my girlfriend down at SEMO. And
SEMO?
He does like jazz stuff.
Yeah.
And
not jazz music, jazz stuff.
Jazz stuff. it's its own genre. But I saw him.
Artiste.
He's an artiste. I saw him play a show at this place next to the Fox. Probably like a month or two ago, and I was, the whole time I was sitting there, I was like, this is really awesome, we should do some video for him. Like, that's always in my mind now. It's just kind of like a go-to thing. Like, how can I
fun fact, hold on, pause, back when we were getting ready to record 4 Years Strong, I had, like, they just released their new album at that point, so they were touring in support of it, and I sent these guys a video and I said, hey, this is a really cool song, or like, hey, check this out, this is really awesome. And, like, so later on, I called Dustin. I was like, hey, did you check that? I said, yeah, the video looks great. Like, no, I meant the song. His mind had just, like, kind of switched to, like, looking at, like, how everything is filmed and, you know, framing and, like, effects and how they film stuff. So, yeah, he didn't even listen to the song. He didn't care less about the song. Like, that wasn't what I was trying to get you to do.
How my mind has shifted from a few years ago. But, yeah, so I was like, I'm going to hit him up and see if he wants a video. And we talked, and he was like, yeah, I'm interested in doing a music video, actually. And so we kind of collaborated. We talked a little bit.
Well, talk about the reason why he was, like, wanting to have something.
Yeah, well, he actually just moved to L.A., like, yesterday was when he got there. So we actually had a really big time crunch to get this video done, because it was, like, mid-December, and we're like, okay, let's do this music video. And we did it in one day, and half a day, really.
Right. Yeah.
And
we had half a day. Mike stuck around to film some other stuff later in the day because we both had to go to work. So,
but yeah, so he moved to LA, so he's like, well, I'm gonna need some kind of, like, stuff to show people, like, what, who I am,
going,
like, what I'm
to,
about.
You need something yeah, tangible that people can,
and so,
look at.
Yeah, and he had this really cool concept for a video. It's based around, like, the Fox Theater. Like, his life dream is to play the Fox, and just happens he works there, so he kind of incorporated that into it, and that's kind of what the song is about.
Yeah, if you watch the video, the whole message is kind of like my dream is to play at the Fox. So, like, it's kind of, the whole song is like, you know, my dream, like, to play at the Fox, and the video is kind of like following him walking to the Fox, right. And then, you know, we know that he works there,
kind of,
but the person watching doesn't know that he works there. I'm like, oh, he's finally at the Fox, and then he, like, puts on his name tag for work, and it's like, oh, he works there, ah, I get it. And then, but it's still, like, his overarching goal is to, like, one day to, you know, perform at the place.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah, and so we never done a music video before. We've only done live stuff. So we just kind of, like, dove in head first, and we're like, let's just do it. And, like, we kind of, as the day, we started early in the morning, like 7:30, and we just started shooting. And we're like, hey, this is a cool idea. Let's do this. Let's do that. And it all came together really well, and we were really proud of it. We did not expect it to turn out the way it did.
Yeah, no, it looks great. Listen, it's a great song too, and
that helps.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But it's fun. I think it ultimately, you know, having a song like that where it says, you know, you got a lot of visual imagery in the song. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about the fox and things that obviously lends to being able to record. Do you want to fix that?
No.
Oh. Yeah.
We're good.
All right.
It died.
Because we can pause this.
No, we are golden.
All right. But, you know, being able to have that, you know, imagery and stuff, being able to record right in front of the fox and, you know, tie it all in and stuff. I think there's, you know, a lot of that that helps make the video that much better and stuff. Yep. Where if you just listen to the song, you can already start painting a picture in your mind of what you want to do, where you want to go with it, and everything else.
So. Yeah, I mean, it did kind of write itself. It's kind of like, because they had a production meeting with him about, like, what he was looking for, and I had to work so I couldn't make it, but just from the notes, it was just kind of like, the song kind of, you have to listen to the song to understand what he's wanting, and because it just, it makes sense once you hear what the song's about, so.
Yeah, he has such a creative, cool mind that it's like, it was really good to work with him. He had all these great
ideas.
Happy
all day.
Yeah, man, he's always happy. He's always in good mood. He's a good guy.
Yeah. And then you also I saw some video. You guys did even a comedy show recently too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That was our buddy Mike Stricker. He's a comedian out of Chicago. He was coming to town with Preston Lacey of Jackass. And then Preston Lacey's tour manager, Tom Garland, he was like kind of like the middle act. So Mike opened, and then it was Tom, and then it was Preston Lacey. And we were going to go to the show, and it was like, hey, why don't we see if he wants something, again, just to promote his comedy, because he has different things out there already. I mean, I don't know exactly what all he has out there.
Yeah, but I think he used that video to submit to some comedy festivals. And
that's what he was looking for, just like, again, something that people can see what they have to offer, because saying, hey, I'm a comic, I've played here. Okay, cool. Like, what do you sound like? What do you? What's your stage presence like? What do you look like?
Sure.
That's something big. So yeah, he used that for that, and then we also got to film Tom Garland, who again is Preston Lacey's tour manager, and so then he shared that and shared it to his people and his followers, and I mean, it's just cool to be associated with stuff like that. I think we took some pictures, and like that's still his like Facebook profile picture is our shot. And
nice.
I mean, so anybody who sees that just sees our name, our logo. And
right. Yeah, you got your watermark on it or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, your logo right there.
That's with anything. Just get your name out there.
Yeah.
Just whatever way you can. We don't want to, like we said earlier, we don't want to limit ourselves to just doing local bands. Like, if you're a comedian, yeah, we'll record your show if you want, or whatever you do, we'll try to help you out.
How was the show? How's Preston as a stand-up under?
It was really good. And it wasn't so much stand-up as it was just him storytelling.
Yeah,
it was funny as hell.
I didn't know that he was from, like,
Joplin.
Nearby. Yeah,
he was from Joplin, so that was pretty cool.
I didn't know that before, like, I went there. So he kind of, like, I think he had some family and friends or some friends or whatever in the audience. So it was almost like a hometown show of some kind. I mean, there's only probably about 30, 40 people there. So, I mean, it was real, like...
Yeah, it was really small.
Real intimate, just, you know, like, almost like you were one-on-one with him. It wasn't like you're in a big auditorium or anything. It was pretty cool.
We went out, we hung out with him after, at least I did. I don't know if you guys didn't go.
No.
Yeah, we hung out.
We're responsible adults.
I know, I wasn't.
Did you take part in Tequila Stuntman?
I did not take part in Tequila Stuntman, which is a fun stunt that they do on stage.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
Friend Jeremy can tell us about that, though.
Jeremy did it, yes. There's video of it, which we did not shoot.
But. Yeah.
It's I don't even know what the process is. I just know like they put like salt in their eyes or squirt
like,
a lime or I don't
know. Snorting Tabasco and
yeah, it just sounds like everything
crazy.
I would never want to do.
Then you get like punched in the face or something like that, or I think or the stomach or something.
There was no punching in the face.
I thought it was
none of that.
I thought there was some kind of physical thing too.
I think
or was it Tabasco in the eye?
It was. I don't know.
I think it was lime juice in
the
eye.
Lime in the eye. Take the shot. Snort. The salt?
Salt and Tabasco sauce.
It was rough,
everything that I would
was.
Never do or never want to do with my life.
Sounds terrible.
Besides maybe the shot of tequila. That's tolerable.
I've seen a couple of guys like Preston Lacey kind of level, you know, where they're not traditional stand-ups. I saw Chris Kattan recently at the Funny Bone. And
oh, yeah. How was that?
I didn't go to the Funny Bone. I drove up to Columbia to Deja Vu, and I saw him up there. Because I had some buddies opening up the show up there. But it was cool. I mean, he's not a comic. He's not necessarily a stand-up. He was doing a lot more storytelling stuff. And it was fun. I mean, I met him. I got a picture with him and things and all that. It's just... All that stuff's kind of neat to meet somebody you've seen on TV or movies or anything
else. Yeah, for sure.
That kind of stuff. People you're a fan of. As a show, it was... There was some weak moments. You could tell he was not as comfortable there as if he were acting or something like that.
But
I think he opened the show with something doing the head bob, Night of the Roxbury, and he's like, all right, we got that out of the way, and kind of thing. So you can tell he's, I don't know, that's a weird level to be at, where people know you for that thing and they want to talk, they want you to do that or they want you to talk about it or whatever. It's like. So everywhere he goes, he probably has to do. People want him to do the Night of the Roxbury, I don't know.
You get sick of it after a while, so you just kind of embrace it. You're like, okay,
it's like a band with the one hit, but they have 15 other albums, but everybody wants to hear that one song for 40 years.
I
can't imagine this every night for years and years and years. I'm so sick of the song. Everybody wants to hear it.
I think it was a little before my time, but my buddy told me a story of seeing late 90s or whatever it was, but Deep Blue Something came to town. I think they were playing at Mississippi Nights or something, maybe Creepy Crawl or something, even before, I don't know.
Gotcha.
Smaller venue and things. Anyway, they were playing there. This is right when all that Deep Blue Something had the hit Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh, okay.
And they apparently must have hated the song, they were so sick of playing it or whatever it was. But they were like, okay, for all of you that showed up to hear Breakfast at Tiffany's, we're going to, here it is. It was the first song they played. So they go, they play it, and then the whole room left. Everybody, according to my buddy. Apparently everybody left. All right, that's all we showed up for, was that song, and we'll see you later. So, I've heard a lot of stories, similar things, where bands just completely resent the big hit and things. They just... the band Extreme. They have More Than Words.
Yeah.
And apparently, they're pretty heavy, other than More Than Words. And everybody.
Well, I mean, their name was Extreme.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But everybody wanted to hear More Than Words. That was the hit, So, I like Sugar Ray's approach though. They hit with Fly. They were pretty heavy before Fly came out. The whole rest of their stuff is. On that Florida album was pretty heavy rock, and then Fly hits, becomes a single, and they were like, all right, we'll just make the whole next record sound like Fly, but I like that they call it, the album was 1459. They were, they knew their 15 minutes of fame was almost up, so it was they were fully aware that they were just trying to get paid and make it as long as they can, and it worked.
Mark McGrath shows up here and there every once in a while, so he's doing okay.
I tweeted at him the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he wrote back. It was really cool.
Maybe he's not doing that much. Oh, yeah.
He does a show. He hosts a show on 90s on 9 on Sirius XM.
Oh, okay.
Mark McGrath. It's called Mark McGrath's 120, and he kind of pairs songs together in a theme kind of thing. And he wrote on, he said on the show, hey, tweet me, let me know what you think of the show, criticism or whatever, so I was like, hanging out. I was like, all right, cool, whatever, all right. Said, hey, Mark, loving the show or something like that. And he's like, hey, thanks, Shane, or, thanks, bro, or, something like,
yeah.
And it was just, and he, said, thanks for listening, and also, I'm glad you're enjoying it. So, I don't know. That's the cool thing about Twitter.
Isn't it crazy? Yeah. Isn't it crazy that you can do that?
Right.
If you would have said 10 years ago or 15 years ago, you can talk to whatever celebrity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just so easily like that. It's crazy.
On my Snap, I'm following, Jared Leto on, Snapchat.
every night it's just like a picture of his face. I'm like, he didn't send it directly to me, but like, he may as well have. Like, I'm sitting there just, there's Jared Leto, like, right there.
Here, Kevin, this is for you.
I mean, he might. If you're listening, please do it.
He does listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sure he does.
Oh,
yeah.
Everybody
yeah,
should.
Big fan.
It's great stuff. It's crazy, though. This is what you could do with technology now and just, you know. Some celebrities probably shouldn't be allowed to have social media, but it's a thing and it happens, and it's what it is.
It is a very powerful tool, but in the wrong hands it can be quite dangerous.
Yes, very much so.
So So you guys, let's throw all this out there. Make sure since we're talking about the Twitter, but you guys have a Twitter account, you have your Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and all those.
All the above.
I think that about covers it.
Yeah. So get out your smartphone, your space phone, and
we'll wait.
Yeah.
We'll wait for you.
Pause.
Okay.
Great. Thanks.
But so you guys have a ton of great video up on the YouTube channel there. Yeah. Most recently, I think, was the Fivefold release show, right?
Yeah.
I think so. I think that was the most recent thing we've put up.
Yeah, me and Mike were out at the Fivefold show just kind of getting some footage of the whole night. And we Kevin here put together the little video of the...
A little recap
of the little show. Yeah.
Was that did that come through from Coco and the Block Party then? Or were you guys just going to show up as fans, or?
Well, we, I guess starting technically with the Block Party, Fivefold was one of the bands that we put something together for, and we just kind of did the Block Party. We didn't really have any kind of overall, like, goal. It was like, all right, well, I knew we were going to put together a highlight of the whole day. So, like, there's a video on our YouTube channel and on our Facebook page that just has, you know, video of all the bands, all the merch that was set up, just kind of like the whole day recapping the whole community feel of all the bands working together. And it was like, okay, well, let's kind of just take this opportunity and maybe record some full bands and just, like, let's put a couple live songs together and just kind of picked out some random bands. So Fivefold was one of the bands we did, and the feedback we got from their video, like, they all just love it. And yeah. I think Coco said to me one time, like, whenever anybody, like, asked, like, oh, what is your band? He's like, I show him your guys' video and say, this is who we are as a band. And, like, that means a lot to us.
Sure.
And, like, that's kind of, like, what we're wanting to do, too, just to give people, you know, an idea to say, hey, this is who we are as a band. Check it out, because it's just you can listen to a song all day, but I think we mentioned earlier, it's more than just having music.
Yeah.
It's a whole
well,
package.
For them, man, they got such a good live show with the energy and then the light.
Show that they have.
Light
set
up,
it's just crazy. Confetti cannon. Well, the Fivefold in particular totally stepped it up a notch with their stage production. I mean,
yes.
Like, it is a full-on show. They got, I think it's LG is the name that does lights or something like that.
I can't remember his name.
I forget, but I think, that guy doing a wonderful job with all the lighting and everything. Let alone... Like I said, you know, echoing the band sounds great, but to have the lights, the whole stage production that they have going on, and then to have great video capturing all that is, it's all pieces of the puzzle. So starting with
the Inkspot Block Party, we filmed Fivefold, and they all really liked the video. So the idea kind of came up to, hey, let's put together. It was really like the project didn't have a lot of structure. It was like, let's do something. Like, we want to document the next couple of months, because they were in the process of writing their album, Open Letter, which is awesome. Everybody should have it. Buy it and support them.
Plug.
Yes. You're welcome. No, but it's a great record. So they were in the process of writing the record, recording the record, and then they had the show in December, the release show. And then I think at that point they were just about to be announced on the Story of the Year show, or had just been announced. I don't remember the time frame of that. But just kind of document the next couple of months on kind of like where they were heading and what they were doing. And so it was kind of like a big process. I mean, we went to the studio and filmed them tracking a couple songs and just kind of recording the album. And then it just branched off from that. And so it was like, okay, we'll come to the release show and film some stuff. I couldn't make the release show because I had to work. So Otherwise, we probably would have had some full stuff from that too. With two guys, it's kind of hard to to really get you know enough to make it worthwhile.
I still think you guys did. I mean, for what do you? I mean, there's still some great video for.
Yeah,
you guys.
I thought the stuff turned out great.
Yeah, I was pretty excited how it all ended up.
Yeah, it recaps the whole night. We wanted to get the other bands over there too because they were awesome. Ashland, Isaiah James, and New Lingo.
Yeah,
those were all really good bands. So we want to get them some. Get them some airtime on the Visionary Media YouTube page.
There you go.
Isaiah's. I recorded with Isaiah when he was when he opened up the Firebird show for Maiden Waves was there and Lori's Puppets and Odom. Maybe somebody else.
Pretty stacked lineup. On
Great.
That's like mini Ink Spot Block Party.
Great local bill. Isaiah came in town to play that show and was actually I think one of their maybe the very like the debut of Isaiah James and the Chains. Like I mean we'd all been following for a while a show baby when they'd come through and play fivefold shows and I was a big fan and become buddies with those guys and but this they're starting a new project I got to record with Isaiah that night at Snarf's Sandwiches over on right off of 40 and I forget what that street. It was fun. It's right next to the old Del Taco. Where that was at. Now it's a Starbucks.
The Chipotle Starbucks.
Yeah. So
a Chipotle Starbucks. It's there.
It's like every white girl
there. By off of Grand.
Grand. There it is. I was trying.
Once you said you could have said the spaceship building.
Yeah.
I was going. That was my next.
Well, I thought you meant like a they had the Pizza Hut Taco Bell combos. I thought you meant it's like you go there and you can get Starbucks or Chipotle.
No, it's not quite like that. But it might as well.
It's two separate buildings in one. I got what you're saying now, but I was like, what? I've never heard of that combination before.
Yeah, I don't. That could be a dangerous combination.
It very well could be.
I recorded with Isaiah that night, and it was pretty awesome to get him on the show, and then of course to see him like 2 weeks later, come back to town and rock that fivefold show, and like, but yeah, that band, they're taking off. They're gonna definitely make some noise here, and they're really great, and they got a really good sound, and. They actually kind of remind me a little bit of like Shaman's Harvest that we talked about earlier. They kind of got that same southern rock grit and stuff. And be excited to see what happens with them. And
like I said, in version 1.0 of this podcast, there was just so many people, so many friends at the fivefold release show. Pretty much everybody I ever knew from any local band was there. It was just a good time, and everybody I saw that I knew, they were like, dude, are you listening to this? Like when Isaiah James was playing, I was like, yeah, man, this is awesome. Everybody was stoked on it. I was stoked on it. I can't wait to hear what they do.
It was cool being, I was ready. I was fully aware of what they were capable of, being that I lived, 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
So I'm up front. I'm ready to rock, and then like it was pretty exciting to watch like people start to notice. It's kind of like popcorn kind of thing. People just start what's going on? Like everybody turns and people just start to grow closer to the stage and stuff. So it was a pretty cool experience. But yeah, those guys are really great in Ashland and New Lingo. I just had Joe on the show of New Lingo, and that was a lot of fun to. Talk to him for a little bit. Hopefully get New Lingo in Ashland on the show to do.
They're both doing some good stuff.
Proper episode soon, yeah.
Yeah.
Joe wrote on my Facebook today, actually. He wanted to know if Visionary Media would do a nude calendar of New Lingo. And you know what? I mean, I think we could manage that.
We talked about branching out.
Yeah, we're trying to branch out. Mike, you're the photography whiz. So, I mean, hey, Joe, if you're listening... We got you.
Let's do this.
Look no further.
I think it's definitely an idea that can.
Yeah,
be,
I mean, if you guys can corner in on the nude band magazine or calendars.
It's not a very big market.
That we are united. local calendar. That's actually a cool idea.
Yeah, we could probably actually.
The We Are United local band.
Trademark.
Yeah.
Ideas, man.
But yeah, so.
Coco, are you listening?
We have ideas for you. We have ideas. Text me. No, so yeah, the whole Fivefold thing, though. So yeah, they went out there, and it's kind of like a culmination of this, like, project that we're working on with Fivefold.
It's a secret.
This, I mean.
It's not a secret.
It's, yeah, it's, I mean, we're just filming them for the next couple of months, and we're going to put something out. They're going to have something cool for everybody and all the fans to, you know, kind of give an inside look at kind of what they've been doing. Everybody sees, like, the shows, everybody hears the album, but they never see, like, a lot of people don't get to see the band not performing, like, kind of out of their element, just kind of, like, who they really are.
Yeah, because we got a lot of just footage of them just being themselves at band practice or in the studio or whatever.
Right, and
they're a bunch of nuts, for sure. Me as a music fan, I mean, I've always enjoyed seeing like that behind the scenes stuff. So I'm sure everybody's
gonna. Documentaries are the best things.
So. Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. This is exactly what I wanted to capture with doing this show. The same thing is like, you know, I want people to kind of drop the guard. You know, we're not just I'm not question and answer, we started here, we do this, you know, whatever. I have the spiel, the rehearsed answers and things. I want people to kind of get the character of the bands and get to meet, through the show to, kind of get to know who these people are making the music and doing these things and more than just, hey, here's our song. And, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, you go on radio and stuff, you got to, kind of got it. They want that sound bite. You know, you got to be in and out in a couple minutes. You got to get all the information out there. And I like to do the show, run around like an hour or something and let it breathe a little bit and kind of let expand on some of these stories and just have fun with it and just have a good time. And so hopefully that's my goal is coming through and trying to do the same thing, trying to show another side of the bands. And these people making the music and stuff.
And we don't really have that, especially in the local scene. There's not really anybody doing anything like that. And I think we kind of have a common goal like that you do. You know, we're trying to just help better the local music scene because it's so much better than it was just a few years ago when we were in a band, when me and Kevin were in a band. There's so many good things happening, and I'm kind of jealous of all these bands right now because they're getting, like, there's a lot of cool things going on. And
yeah, when we were in a band, there was so much competition. It felt like it was just like us against them, and nobody was working together. And it just felt like, you know, it was just always kind of, it just felt like, you know, we were all working against each other, and nobody was going anywhere. It was kind of like, you know, and I feel like now bands are starting to kind of work together with, you know, Coco's We Are United and kind of help bands, you know, kind of. Yeah. All work towards a common goal, just improving the scene. It's not, nobody's in it for themselves, they're all in it together, and it's kind of getting back to that now.
Yeah, definitely. It is very exciting times to be involved in St. Louis music and the greater St. Louis area and everything. We got, we got bands coming in that call St. Louis home from, I know Midnight Hour lives in, like Cuba, Missouri, so they drive up and play St. Louis, and I went to talk to Odom. They live out in Muscoota, Illinois, and they, you know, so there are a lot of bands coming from outside of the, you know, coming in to play St. Louis, so we have a pretty wide range, but it's just exciting times to be involved in. Like I said, we all do have to work together. We all benefit, you know, if we're all putting on great shows and creating some great video and podcast or whatever. It's all part of the, you know, so we all have our, spot where, so hopefully, the year, you know, 2016, I think is going to be a awesome year for St. Louis music. So
that's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's definitely looking that way.
Yeah. So we're working, with Fivefold, but, anything, other, like, what would be, like, a goal? Like, where would you guys be satisfied in 2016? Like, what was something that, like, a dream thing that you wouldn't want to have? I mean, you've already got Story of the Year and stuff like that.
I quit.
That. Yeah, right.
I'm done.
Yeah.
No, man.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, working with Coco, and we're starting to work with Pops for the Point Fest battles, the Road to Point Fest. We're going to start being involved with those from here moving forward. And, you know, being out there filming bands, you know, I think all the bands are going to be, like, you know, made aware that we're going to be out there if they want, you know, a full song put together, or pictures of their set, or, you know, just any kind of professional quality stuff done of them. They can, you know, get with us and, you know, schedule that out because we're going to be out there. Other than that, we're just going to be filming for kind of for Pops and for the Road to Point Fest and the whole local scene at Pops, mm-hmm. Trying to work with them. And I mean, I think that'll translate to, you know, hopefully working Point Fest and helping with the local stage too. Because again, bands that play that, they're going to want some not only documentation for themselves, you know, kind of stuff to look back on, but again, it's people that can't make it out to the show. Like, hey, this is something cool. Like, we're playing a big festival at a big venue. And then I was talking to these guys, and I mentioned it in podcast 1.0 that like I would like to try to set up some kind of like backstage interview process where the bands kind of come in, you know, 5 minutes, sit down with somebody who's just you know, kind of interviewing the bands and more of like a, you know, hey guys, what's it like to be out here? It's kind of, you know, talking about the day and kind of the. It's something that if they ever get to the point where they're like headlining Point Fest, for example, like, and they're just like a touring band that's like, you know, playing on the main stage. Well, they do that backstage with like the radio stations and stuff. They'll sit with a backdrop and a nice formal interview and, you know, kind of get them that experience before they can get to that point. And I think it'd be something cool to add to the local stage to make it not seem so local in a sense. Yeah. Make it seem more professional.
I don't know who did it, but it's about the only time I remember it being done, but there was a similar kind of idea. I mean, not that not to take away from what you guys are trying to do. Obviously, it's needed, and it's a very cool thing you're going to do, but there was somebody, I remember a couple years back, because like I said, I've been following these bands for several years. Yeah. I remember seeing a video of Exit 714, Fivefold, Hollow Point Heroes.
What you're talking about.
Yeah, and it was like just a little. They're all kind of sitting there on like a kind of layered,
couch.
on a couch there, like that. And
Something similar to that.
Yeah, but it was just as a fan, like I loved it. It was cool.
Yeah, and I'm sure the bands appreciated stuff like that. Again, it's something to just help promote them, and it's an experience that they get. I know we our band played Point Fest in like 2012, and. It, you know, it's a cool experience. You pull up to the venue, you got your trailer, you got all your gear, you guys are all jacked up to play. You get to go in the gates before everything opens, you load in, and you're in the venue before, you know, people are still, like, sweeping up, getting stuff ready, sound checking the main stage, and it's a cool experience. And then after the doors kind of open, you know, you promote yourself when you're playing, where you're playing at, and it just kind of, like, and then you play, and that's it. And I just kind of want to make it feel a little more, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just...
more of an event than it is.
Sure.
Yeah, more of a an experience, an event, and hey, we're playing Point Fest. Here's a backstage interview at Point Fest, like an all access type thing.
Yeah, that's gonna be cool. I'm excited, man. Like, it's just there's a lot of great music. I mean, you if you haven't been down to the Road to Point Fest, go down and check it out because it's there's a lot of super talented people making some noise in the scene right now. My just had a City of Parks on the show. They're going to be down there representing.
Blake's a good friend of ours.
Yeah, Blake's a good dude.
He's
man.
A crazy man.
He's up there doing like high kicks and stuff during the story.
He was one of the bands we filmed at. Blake is not a band.
Right.
He probably could be, but we filmed City of Parks too at the Ink Spot Blog Party. So that was a band that we worked with then. Another band that we, you know, like to work with more and just with everybody in the scene. But yeah, Blake's a good guy.
Check out Diamondback Kings. They'll be down there in the Road to Point Fest also. They're
from my neck of the woods.
Yeah. They're based out of Washington area.
Down the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Exactly in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. They are. And I took I went out there and recorded at their home. Definitely out in the middle of nowhere. Like, I had a real difficult time even GPSing my way back home because like I couldn't get any signal. It's definitely on the sticks. But I love it out there. I mean, that's beautiful country out there. It's nice to to be able to have a little you know space in between your I'm from one country boy. I've been lived out in Wentzville all my life. It's, you know, watch it growing up. So it's I enjoy a little space and not houses stacked on top of each other everywhere. And
right.
So it's nice to, but yeah. Anyway, go out, support local music. Go down to Pops, check out some of these local guys doing some great stuff, and you can meet these guys down there recording. Say hey. Well, dudes, this has been a lot of fun, man. I appreciate you doing this again.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So again, if you want to get in contact with these guys, Visionary Media, reach out on Facebook.
That's probably the easiest way.
Yeah, everybody's got Facebook now.
Yeah, I mean, you can email us at visionarymediainfo@gmail.com if you so wish. That just, from everything I've seen so far, just Facebooking is way, way easier. Yeah. You can do everything you can.
Sure.
Anywhere on Facebook.
You probably find us individually, too.
You can send money on Facebook.
We're there. Yeah. Send me individually money.
We have a group chat for the company on Facebook, and every time I log in, it's like, send money to Mike Randman. I'm like, no. I don't want to send money to Mike Randman.
Yeah. And then go to YouTube and subscribe to their channel.
Yeah, we upload everything there. We try to kind of cover all platforms with it, so we'll upload a video to YouTube, we'll upload it directly to Facebook, we'll tweet it out, and then usually with Instagram, we'll try to post some kind of, you know, either like a still of the video, or a little 15-second clip of the video.
Sure.
Just to kind of say, you know, hey, here's this. And our goal is to help promote the company, the band, the comedian, whatever, whoever we put something together for.
Yeah.
Our goal is to promote them. I mean, it's not just, we're not trying to, you know, promote us. Yeah, it's right. Not all about us. We're trying to help them. That's the kind of the point of what we're trying to do here. So
definitely, yeah.
So I mean, if you hit us up and we can talk about pricing and stuff, and we're pretty negotiable about that.
No, we're not.
Not at all. It's a stiff whatever price. No, but we said a million times, we're here to help the bands.
We get it.
We totally get it. I mean, we've been there. We've done that. Sure. we can work with you. You can do whatever you want to do.
One thing,
if you want to do a nude calendar like you know what to do, we'll help you out with it.
We can totally do that. That's all that's been in my mind since we mentioned it 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But I think that's I feel like those are some of the best companies or whatever, even people that get it, people that have been there, like you guys were played. You understand what it's like coming from a musician standpoint, or various things that usually like clubs that are ran by musicians or comedians or various things. It's like they run everything how the artist would like it. So it's you guys are trying to make it as affordable and easy as you can because you understand what these guys are going through and where they're at and stuff. So I think that's I think that's huge.
One thing that I would like to stress, and whatever you're looking to get done is something, we want to make sure that you get what you want and that your money or whatever is spent well. So with anything, especially if it's something like a music video or some kind of something that takes more production than just like a live video, we're more than willing to have production meetings, kind of sit down and make sure that we understand what you're looking for. At the same time that, they kind of get what we're looking for as far as, like, their performance and stuff. Just, so everybody's on the same page. Everybody knows what, so we don't put something together and you're like, hey, this isn't what I paid for. Like, I don't want to run into that situation. So we're all on the same page. Like I said, with the music video, they had a production meeting with Dom. It was a pretty simple concept. It took one meeting, and if you listen to the song, you kind of get what the video is. And so it kind of played itself out. But, we want to make sure that you get what you're looking for. And
sure.
Make sure that the final product is something that you're not only happy with, but it's basically exactly what you want, and not, oh, okay, well, it's good enough.
Yeah.
I don't want to be good enough.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, guys, I wish you the best of luck with everything. Like I said, we are off to a great start for 2015. You went doing Block Party and Fivefold and all this stuff, and so I'm excited to see where 2016 takes you now. And yeah, I'll be happy to share all the videos and spread the good word. So
we appreciate everything you do for the scene and helping the local business and community and
you know, you do a lot for the scene, so yeah. Everybody appreciates that.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I'm having a great time doing it. I really enjoy everything that's been going on right now, from the show to everything else, so it's exciting for me. So but yeah, I think that's the key, man. Just love what you do. You know, be happy. If you're not happy doing what you're doing, go change it, make it.
There's no point.
It's the key to life, man.
Right.
There is no
point. I'm sick of my day job, so I'm trying to get out and create something that I enjoy doing.
I mean, I think in podcast 1.0 we had a couple different life mottos.
Oh yeah,
but I don't remember what they are.
Well, my number one life motto is "fake it till you make it."
That's what it was,
and that's what we've been doing, and it seems to be working.
Yeah,
so
yeah, man. I had a blast doing it too.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Sure, I live by everybody Wang Chung tonight, so
yep. we're gonna do that after the podcast.
Yeah, that's my motto. I'm gonna, but yeah, okay, guys. Well, we'll close this thing out. Thanks so much again, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Visionary Media. Keep an eye out for a website coming soon.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Working on it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Shane.
Thank you, sir. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.